Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all of you, to any and all of you who are listening in. Today, we're going to continue our series on the subject of peace for the Christian. And as we do so, we are reminded, once again, that it's not just one magic pill that gives us peace. It's not just one thing. Rather, it's a collection of truths that when combined together, they bring us a greater peace into our lives. Just as one ingredient does not make a good chili. We're going to be up at that fall season soon, and I'm sure the chilies are going to start coming out fast and furious. And just like chili beans don't make chili, just like chili powder alone doesn't make chili, just like just a little bit of meat won't make chili, by the way, you need a lot of meat to make a good chili, in my opinion, you need all of those ingredients and more together to get that great taste. And so it is with the subject of peace. We add the collection of truths together, truths about peace from God's Word, to gain greater peace. Now, today we're going to focus in on a truth that I have found extremely relevant in my own life when it comes to the matter of peace. We're going to talk about having a Sabbath day. A Sabbath day. And I want to suggest that for probably many of you, this might be one of the greatest and most immediately beneficial areas of your life to help you have an increase of peace. Now, right off the bat, we need to consider what I mean when I speak of having a Sabbath day. More importantly than what I think, it's what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath. Well, we start off by noting that many people immediately jump into the Old Testament law when they talk about the Sabbath. And more specifically, they look to the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and verses 8 through 11 give us the fourth of the Ten Commandments, and it's fairly plain. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Often people look at that first part of that law there in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And for some people, the Sabbath becomes a law. It's a law enshrined in the Mosaic Code, and for some Christians, they've taken that law to mean that it is law for us today. And that has several effects. Some Christians convert the Sabbath to be the Lord's day in this age of grace. So Sabbath is typically what we would think about in our week as Saturday. Sunday is the Lord's day. And so some have said that in this age of grace, the Sabbath is now, the new Saturday is now Sunday. It's the Lord's day. And as such, people who take that as a law that is binding upon Christians would say that you can't not only do any work yourself, you can't do anything else to make anybody else do work. So you can't watch a sporting event on a Sunday because the people you are watching are working. You should try to rest as much as possible. You should not engage in any worldly pursuits for these types of Christians who take this as a law for today. Others actually try to keep the Sabbath on its original day, Saturday. Some of them are real legalists who believe that the keeping of the law is what brings their salvation or sanctification. But there are others, such as you may not have heard of this group, the Seventh-day Baptists, who believe that it's simply being faithful to Scripture to keep its commands. Finally, there are still others who simply say the Sabbath is the only command of the Ten Commandments that's not reiterated in the New Testament, and as such, we don't need to obey it at all. So because Jesus or the apostles did not actually explicitly say, "Thou must keep the Sabbath day," that we are not under obligation to keep it because the law is done away with and we're not under the law. I actually suspect that this is the position of most American Christians, either on purpose or by default. Some intentionally hold this view theologically or doctrinally. Others just sort of never have thought about it, but just do sort of whatever they want when it comes to the Sabbath. I would like to suggest for you, however, a fourth option as it relates to Sabbath, and I think that this option helps us in this matter of peace. This fourth option is what one of my professors, Kevin Bowder, called soft Sabbatarianism. Soft Sabbatarianism. This view understands the Sabbath to be something that is part of the created order and is actually a blessing and a real good for all people, including New Testament believers in Christ. Now, I want you to listen again to how God grounds this fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. After describing what the Jews were to do and not to do on the Sabbath, Moses declared this: "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." This commandment was not based on something new. In other words, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses and Moses delivered them to the people of Israel, this was not something brand new. Rather, it was based on something very old that predated the Mosaic Law. It was old as creation itself. God had instilled it into the creation order. We work 6 days, then we have a day of rest. And that's what Exodus 20 is explaining to the people of Israel. It's also, by the way, exactly what Genesis 2 and verses 2 and 3 state, if you read them. Now, to make a day holy, or to hallow it, is not necessarily about making something more pure than something else. Now, certainly that can be the case when it comes to the word holy or to hallow something, as Exodus 20 verse 11 states it. The idea of something being holy or hallowed can also refer to something being set apart. This day, in the case of the Sabbath day, was set apart as something different than the other days. It was set apart for rest. And the goal of this day being set apart was not to make life miserable or boring for the followers of Jehovah God. Not at all. I think that's implicit in the fact that in the Old Testament, God blessed the Sabbath day. But also, Jesus himself makes that clear in the New Testament. He does so in Mark 2:27. I'm going to read that in a moment, but let me note the context of Jesus' statement first. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field of grain on the Sabbath. They plucked some of the heads of grain. We know from Luke's gospel in this account that they rubbed the grain in their hands, presumably to make that grain edible, and then they ate them. Now, there were some Pharisees who saw this, and they started to make accusations right away against the disciples that they were breaking the Sabbath law. After all, they harvested grain, which is an act of work, and then prepared the grain, which is an act of work, and then they ate it. So the accusation was made, and here's what it says in Mark chapter 2, "Why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now, Jesus responds in two ways. First, he went to an episode in the Old Testament where David broke the law by going into the tabernacle and getting the showbread there to eat, both for himself and for his men. And if you look back in the Old Testament, David was not condemned for that, and the Jewish leaders didn't condemn him either in Jesus' day. But then Jesus gives a universal principle about the Sabbath. He said that the Sabbath was made for man, and this is Mark 2:27, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, what Jesus was communicating in those words is that the Sabbath is not some sort of rule to follow that brings us drudgery and misery. It's not a thing to put straps upon us to make our life miserable. Rather, the Sabbath was something good for humanity. Now, that fits, by the way, very well with what both Exodus 20 and verse 11 says, and also Genesis 2 says. They speak of it as a blessing. The day is a blessing. It is not a curse. Now, I think this indicates that the idea of Sabbath is not something only for the Old Testament believer. It's also for us today. It's for all people for all time. It is a universal blessing for all people instilled in the created order. It's brought up in the Old Testament and New Testament, and both before the Mosaic Law and in the transition period of Jesus' ministry to after the Mosaic Law. Now, the day is clearly for rest. I mean, God rested on the seventh day. That's what it says in the text of Scripture. It is us patterning our lives upon Him in our rest. Now, of course, that begs the question, what kind of rest is God talking about? What is the blessing of the rest that we can have? Rest is one of those words that can easily mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Is it referring to a nap? Is it talking about laying down on your bed? Is it vegging on the couch? What's rest about? Well, first of all, we need to note that whatever God did in resting was not sleeping or taking a nap. God was not tired. He was not weary. He was not worn out. It was merely by the word of His mouth that the heavens and the earth were spoken into existence. God did not get to the end of 6 days and was like, boy, I am tired. I need to take a break. Now, certainly we do need breaks. We do need times of bodily refreshment. Naps are good things for us. I spent a whole session on this subject of peace way back earlier in our series here to talk about sleep as being important for us and our own peace. But I don't think that this is what God was primarily referring to when He rested as a pattern for us. Rather, I would suggest that you ought to look at the overall flow of Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God's creative acts. Over 6 days, He created all that the universe contains. And the universe was majestic and is majestic and diverse and awesome, breathtaking in God's creative abilities. All along the way in Genesis 1, as God creates things, the Bible repeats this phrase. After each time God made something, it says this, and God saw that it was good. So He looked at what He made and then said, oh, this is nice. It works. It's finished. It's good. Maybe you do that after you finish a project. You finish the laundry, it's all folded and put away neatly in the drawers, and you say, oh, this is good. You build a shed, and everything is put together, it's painted, and everything is inside in its place, and you say, this is good. God actually does that all the way through Genesis chapter 1, and then we get to this statement in Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that He made, and indeed it was very good. He liked it. He delighted in it. He enjoyed and rejoiced in and over what He had created. And I would suspect, as would other Bible teachers, that this is what the resting of God was all about. It was His time to delight in what He had done. He simply sat back and enjoyed the fruits of His labors. Now, what that means is that the Sabbath for human beings is something very similar for us. Now, we do not create things ex nihilo, that means out of nothing, like God does. Anything we create is from the good gifts that God has already given us. Our rest, therefore, is twofold. First, we recognize in a day of rest all the good things that God has given to us. For 6 days, we work with what God has given us, so as to provide for ourselves. But on the seventh day, we say, God, You have given us all these things. Now, on the other hand, we also enjoy not only the good gifts that God has given us, but also the fruits of our labors. We delight in what we have made and have done, and with what the Creator has given us. Part of that could certainly be a nap. I mean, a nap is a good thing on a day of rest to say, ah, I can sit back and enjoy what God has done for me. But that's not all. A day of rest and enjoyment may not just be sleeping. For someone like me, who does a lot of his work, my work, sitting at a desk or sitting at a kitchen table with a church member, honestly, the idea of sitting for one more day, for the whole day, is not that fun or restful at all. In fact, I'd get fidgety and annoyed. I enjoy a good game of golf or going for a drive with the family or picking up fast food and going to the park. I like to read a good book or have friends over to play a board game, maybe even a grand meal, still yet to watch a movie with my kids. I can even enjoy just sitting out on the deck in the sun listening to my kids splash in the pool and occasionally chucking a water balloon at them. I might even build something. For me, I like working with my hands. Sometimes putting something together is a relaxing thing. Because I've worked hard throughout the week, I can afford to do this other fun project that I just want to do because I enjoy it. I'll give you a general rule of thumb that for me has been helpful as I think about a Sabbath day, a day of rest. I've used this for myself, but if it helps you, use it for yourself as well. If I feel like I have to do something on my day of rest, I don't do it. I know that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's what I've done. If I feel like I have to do something on my day of rest, I don't do it. Now, certainly, if there's a true emergency, I take care of that. I mean, diapers need to be changed still on Sabbath days. That can be an emergency sometimes. But other times, something at the church or something in my family requires labor that just must be done. You know, when the washing machine is broken, sometimes you just got to get it fixed. Whatever it may be, there are emergencies that crop up. But in general, a lot of people just don't stop being busy and working and go, 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 going. They never have times where they just simply enjoy, not with the stresses. So whatever I'm doing, if I get to that point where I'm like, this isn't fun anymore, this isn't enjoyable anymore, this is stressful, I stop. The Sabbath day is a good day to read the scriptures. It's a good day to enjoy the preaching and teaching of God's word. For me, that doesn't work very well on Sunday because I'm really tired because I do a lot of work as a pastor on Sundays. For you, Sunday might be a great day for that. Whatever it is, find a day each week in which you can rest and enjoy all the good gifts God has given you and enjoy the fruits of your labor. I'll tell you, if you do that, I think you will find a greater sense of peace in your life. Every week you have one day in which you just let go and enjoy all that God has given you. I'll tell you that this was not always the case in my life. I have a day reserved each week for this kind of break, but that is not always the case. A number of years ago, now nearly almost 9 years ago, I was working harder than I ever had in my life. I was in the middle of finishing seminary. I had transitioned to become the senior pastor of Sunrise Bible Church. I was also finishing building a house, and my wife was pregnant. My wife had gone away for a weekend retreat with some ladies in our church, and I had the kids, and at the end of that retreat, it got over on Saturday afternoon. I was supposed to go pick her up over in Wisconsin, and I was to take our two kids at that time, only had two, and meet her. And we were going to go on a vacation. It was my first break in a long, long time. I'd been working like crazy. And along the way, I ran into some construction trouble that greatly slowed down my travel. My wife had said to me one thing before we left. She had said, "Whatever you do, David, do not be late to pick me up. I don't want to be sitting there all alone." Well, guess what? I knew what was going to happen as I got into that construction trouble. I was getting later and later. The trouble was actually in the little town of Taylor's Falls. It took me nearly 45 minutes to get through that town. It was a horrible, horrible day, busy Saturday day, and there was construction on the bridge crossing over into Wisconsin. As a result, we were creeping through town in a forever way. And there was this lady in front of me who was driving this big boat, old boat of a vehicle, and you could tell she was very elderly, and she was letting everybody in front of her, which made my trip even longer. So we'd get to an intersection, instead of just letting one car slide in, she'd let four or three, and the problem was only three or four were actually getting through the light to get through Taylor's Falls and get onto Highway 8. And I was getting madder and madder. And I got to the light, and she was right in front of me. There was that car, and there was myself. And the light turned green, and she sat there, and sat there, and sat there, and sat there. I honked my horn. I tried to get her to move. She waited until the light was yellow and pulled through, and I had missed another light. And I yelled out loud. I was mad as a hornet. I screamed, literally screamed out loud in my car. I was enraged. And then I remembered something. I had two kids sitting in the back seat. One of them was about 4 years old. The other was about two. And they had been sleeping up to that point. And I looked back and their eyes were still closed. And I took a sigh of relief like, oh, Good. They didn't wake up and see their dad acting so poorly. About that time, I started driving up on Highway 8, and all of a sudden, I hear this little voice in the back of the car, and she said, "Dad, I heard you when you said those mean words." Oh, those words from her were like the words of God. They were right into my soul. God spoke through my little daughter that day. And I knew that I had been working so hard and thinking that everything relied upon me that I was getting madder and more frustrated. God taught me something that day. David, you need some time of rest. My wife had been telling me that. My friends had been telling me that. My family had been telling me that. I needed some rest. And you know what? God worked through that. I began to take some time of rest, and it brought a greater peace in my life. Incidentally, by the way, it also increased my productivity and my enjoyment of life. I think that's because God made the Sabbath for humanity. He didn't make us for the Sabbath. It's a blessing. If you're not taking a day to enjoy the fruits of your labor, to enjoy all the gifts that God has given you, and to stop working, I just would encourage you that maybe you need to start. It might bring a greater peace into your life. Well, it's been good to have this time with you. I trust that the Lord will take His word and use it well in your own heart and soul. The Lord be with you all.